Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Now, here's Eddie and Joe. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game and 92.9thegame.com into the 10 o'clock hour. Working our way up the 1 o'clock kickoff, Falcons and Commanders. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Sam Crenshaw along with Joe Patrick. Glad you're with us in downtown Atlanta. Beautiful blue skies.
This is great.
Weather, right?
So this is my second week out here. Obviously, Andy Bunker was here week one for you, Sam. But we've had great weather both these days, which is great. Love to see it. And it just like makes the skyline pop a little bit more when you get that bright blue background behind them. You know, we can see the tops of the stadium over there in the distance. So it's a really cool spot over here on the Steel Bridge over the Centennial Yards.
And I'm smelling more of these grills that are going over here, folks. Let me tell you, it's on.
We got a smoker I can see over there. There's some coming up from behind us over here. We got some restaurants and bars around us. So, yeah, it's
this place comes to life. It really does on the game days. Remarkable what we see down here.
Yep, and you see people actually, like, you know, when I first showed up, myself included, were kind of like dragging around a little bit. It was a late night of college football.
Yeah, now.
You know, now people are more alert. They may have gotten a drink in them or some fish, whatever it may be.
Some people are trying to shake off what happened in Athens last night. Some people are trying to shake off the ill effects from that, right?
Yeah.
You know? What a game.
Great game, though. Yeah.
Got a feeling they may see each other again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The thing in college football now is, like, you know, you lose that game, and it's obviously disappointing in the moment, but it doesn't ruin your season, you know?
No.
It's like everything's still ahead of all these teams, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Folks, Wade Ford Tailgate Show is brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer.
And we got the injury report. The injury report's brought to you by Baron Burton's Fireshire. Bigger, better, bolder, and now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com. Sam, it's a very important injury report this week, particularly for the Commanders, because they are going to be missing some very important pieces, none more important than their starting quarterback, Jaden Daniels, who I thought was actually going to play in this game. He came back to practice this week, was limited, I believe, in every practice the team held so far this week, but ultimately they do rule him out. So Marcus Mariota will be the starting quarterback for the Washington Commanders coming back to play the Falcons.
And you wonder about that because all week long he was saying, and they asked him how he felt and feel bad. He was working, he had a brace on it, on his knee, but still was working out and practicing. And I'm like you. I expected, the bus door to open and him to step off and go in here and play today, but that's not going to be the case.
Feels like one of those ones where if it were a playoff game or something, he'd be playing, but with a long season ahead of them, they want to keep him healthy. Obviously, he's a young quarterback. His mobility is so important to what he does and makes that team go. And Marcus Mariota actually played decent last week. He played pretty good. So
I am so curious to see how he does here today because the fans here, will let him hear it.
Oh, yeah.
The fans here are going to let Marcus Mariota hear it here today.
They will.
And you want to see just how he responds and how he performs.
Right. Does that, like, motivate him? Does that make him, give him something extra? Who knows? But I agree with you. I do not think it's going to be a warm reception for him coming back. But it's going to be even kind of more on him, Sam, because the Commanders are also going to be without their star wide receiver, who they just signed to a big, rich, long-term contract, Terry McLaurin. He misses with a quadriceps injury. They're also going to be without the wide receiver opposite McLaurin and Noah Brown, by the way, two Buckeyes, go Bucks. And they're going to be not so much of a pass catcher, but they're going to be without one of their tight ends, John Bates. He is kind of their Charlie Warner. He gets their run game going.
Okay.
So, but that's what I understand. That's going to actually be a pretty important loss, just like it would be if the Falcons didn't have Charlie Warner going into
the
game. That would be pretty big. And, you know, there are some other players that were limited in some form or fashion for the Commanders this week, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Bill Krosky Merritt, their new rookie starting running back, was missing some practice this week, but it did look like he got a full practice in. Has a questionable designation coming into it, I believe, but it looks like he's on track to play, as well as Trey Amos, one of their cornerbacks on the defensive side of the football, one of their starting corners. For the Falcons, not so much on the injury front, but there are three players who are going to miss, and one of them is obviously very important in A.J. Terrell. He's missed last week for the first time after getting injured in the Vikings game.
He hasn't practiced at all, right?
He has not practiced at all. Kind of figured this was going to be the case, Sam, with the considering they have a bye week and they did not put him on IR, kind of figured that they would let him get that extra week of recovery on the bye, and then hopefully he'd be able to come back after that for, I believe it's the Bills game coming up in week 6 for the Falcons. Falcons are also going to be without Kadarius Hodge, a key special teamer for them. The good news is that they get Casey Washington back after he had been missing with the concussion. So as far as the gunner role goes on punt team, you got that covered through Washington in place of Kadarius Hodge. And then Nate Carter, one of the returners last week who was having trouble catching the ball, and emergency running back, is going to be out with a hamstring injury.
Okay. All right. So those are players that you're going to say, rise up!
And Sam, while we're talking about the catching the kickoffs, I should mention Jamal Agnew, who had been out with a groin injury, was back in practice this week. He does not have a game designation on him. He will be back. So that will be a huge boost for this Falcons special teams unit, having Agnew back there to return kicks. One of the most dangerous kick returners in the NFL, but has just been hampered by a lot of injuries over the last couple of years. But when he has played, even so far this year, he's looked pretty good. So that's going to be a big boost for the Falcons and just kind of trying to give them some of that better field position like they never really had against the Panthers.
You know, that's the difference a great return guy could make. Give you an advantage, give it a good place to start your possessions. And so that's something you miss.
Yeah, so I was talking to the special teams coach. now I'm blanking on his name. I apologize for that. But I was talking to him, I believe this was last year, Marquise Williams. That's the name. Keese. And he was saying that punts that have a 10-yard return have a 60% chance, increased chance of scoring on that drive.
Man.
And if you get a 20-yard return, 80% increased chance of scoring. And that makes sense when you consider, first of all, how far kickers can kick nowadays. If you get a 20-yard return on a punt, that's probably putting you at your own 40-yard line at the worst. And then you only need 20 yards to get in the field goal range at that point for a lot of NFL teams. So good to see Carl Dukes here pulling up to
Carl
the tent.
Carl Dukes pulling up here.
To the tent. I don't know if that's plugged in.
There he is.
No, he's not. Here.
I'm just tailgating, man. I'm enjoying you guys. I'm just out here getting the vibe, man. We're going to get a dub today, Sam?
Yes. Yes, we get it back today.
Joe Patrick, we're going to get a win? Okay, Joe. thank you, Joe. All good, man. It's good to see you guys. You guys are crushing it. Yeah, I'm just you feel the vibe out here, man. We got to get something moving on this offense. So.
Yeah, we do. We do. We got to get some consistency and got to get our quarterback's head on, you know, and restore the confidence. Looked like last week he lost some of his confidence.
He did.
Maybe seeing these guys again would do it for him after what he did last season against them.
No doubt. And I don't know. Did you guys see? Is there running back the rookie plan today?
Unknown. He's not out, but yeah.
So you're talking about potentially their running back, quarterback, and their wide receiver being. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, like, no excuses. I'm gonna give this back to you guys, man. Good to see you. Keep killing it, guys.
Always good to see you, man. Carl Dukes came in there, and now he's going to raid somebody's tailgate.
He's going to go get some of that fried fish that Street brought
dish,
over
man.
Here.
Bring us back a cup of dish.
He's right. I mean, like, honestly, this game is going to be on Marcus Mariota's shoulders for the Commanders in this game. And, you know, it makes you just think about the narratives with Mariota coming back, Dan Quinn coming back to coach back, in this building here in Atlanta where – There was a lot of successes in the past. You worry about what the narratives are going to be like if this game goes the wrong way for the Falcons, but considering you know what, that. But, you know, it's a very winnable game.
You know what I like? Some guys who may be a difference makers. We drafted a couple of pass rushers who know nothing about either one of those.
That's true.
Right?
Yep.
Right? We drafted
yep.
some guys this year who know nothing about any of that.
Yep.
And I think that's fantastic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great point. It's not even just the two edge rushers, but I feel like and it's something against Grady Jarrett. Like, Grady Jarrett was a servant to this club and will be forever remembered as a great lifelong Falcon.
Fantastic.
But I think one of the things that happens when a player like him leaves is it does leave a vacuum of sorts as to, like, what the identity of this group is, especially on the defensive side of the football up front. And so it allows, I think, guys like Brandon Dorlus, Ruka Roro, and these rookies that you're talking about to kind of forge their own identity for what this Falcons defense is, and they don't have, you know, maybe some of that baggage. They feel a little bit more freed up because they haven't kind of been through that, and it's on them to kind of, you know, forge your own narrative and what your career is going to be here as an Atlanta Falcon and in this building. And so let's hope they can, you know, get those good vibes back today.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's go back and let's put some pressure on this guy. Let's go out and hit him. You don't know. Don't treat him like you know him. You don't know him.
That's right. Yeah.
Treat him like a stranger.
Plus, that's what I'm talking about. They love hitting any quarterback.
So today is something I think will be big to see them go out and do that. That could really do something to set the tone in this game.
I mean, Marcus Mariota, obviously a mobile quarterback, just like Jaden Daniels, but probably not as mobile to the point where you do feel like maybe you have a little bit more chance to go after him like you would a traditional quarterback, as opposed to, like, I feel like if Jaden's in there, you really have to modify how you rush the quarterback, just got to try to keep, you know, create that cage around him, basically, let him run into a sack if he's going to have one. But I feel like with Mariota, you probably can do some things. And hey, listen, I'll give a lot of credit to Jeff Ulbrich and what he's done with his defense so far this year. They're one of the best, better pass defenses in the NFL. Granted, they haven't gone against, like, great pass offenses, but still, I mean, the way that they're managing on that side of the ball is really impressive. So far, through three games, the Falcons have basically a top five defense and a poor offense, which is exact opposite of what we expected.
This game is so important for this defense, I think, to go out and really have a great game today. They got the bye coming up, but you know the quarterback they got coming up next, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very important that these guys go out today and have a really strong performance, I think. The defense, a really good pressure. You know, maybe have some takeaways, some turnovers, some need to have some success.
Yep.
Because you know what's coming up in your next game.
Sam, it was something that I was identifying coming into the season. I thought that this week and week five, like you mentioned, were going to be really important for us as fans and media and just viewers of this team to see what this defense was. Like what were they capable of, because you're going up against these mobile quarterbacks. Now, the Commanders are not going to have Jaden Daniels in this game like we were expecting coming into the season, but still, it's Marcus Mariota. It's a mobile quarterback that can do some things. But then Josh Allen also is going to be a whole different a true test.
Yeah.
But I think that what the Falcons have done in the draft and the players that they've acquired, like a Divine Diablo, is be more athletic, more dynamic, be able to manage with this kind of modern NFL quarterback that is becoming more popular across the league.
Absolutely. Makes this game a big test. They want to go out and pass it today. They want to get the win, and the way they want to win it is go out and really impose their will defensively, as that makes things better. You always, if you're going to the bye week, you don't want to go to the bye week with something bad hanging over you. You want to go out and have a great performance today and then be ready for what comes next when Buffalo rolls in here in 2 weeks. That is for sure. All right. We get everything done for this one?
Yep, we did.
Okay, all right. Coming up next, what we got? What are we doing next? Next.
Stay tuned later for the Ticketmaster Halftime Show, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. But when we're coming back, we're going to talk about some keys to the game for the Falcons, what they got to do to try to secure this win today.
All right. Keys to the game, that's coming up. You stay with us. It is Sam. It is Joe. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The countdown to kick off between the Falcons and the Commanders. You're listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And now Atlanta goes home a winner.
Our Falcons play here. And we're getting you ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Now, here's Andy and Joe on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw sitting in for Andy Bunker. Joe Patrick. Beautiful blue skies here in downtown Atlanta as people head to the bins for the Falcons and Commanders today.
We need the blue sky after last week.
Oh, man. You know what I mean?
We need that feeling.
The sun did
literally
come out.
Literally and figuratively.
Right, the sun did come out, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Just, because despite all odds.
You're right. You know, it was some gloomy stuff happened last Sunday. But the sun has come out. It's a beautiful day, and we feel like this team is ready to go out and play the way we have expected them to play from the outset of this season and get back in the win column today.
Yeah.
All right, let's say we want to do the keys to the game.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
And we're going to show you what do you say as a key?
Well, I mean, we talked a little bit early in the show about the first one for me, but it's being able to run the ball against this team in general, but it's specifically against these two high safety looks, which is what I imagine that we're going to see, because Michael Penix has struggled passing the ball against those looks, really limiting the deep stuff, which he really wants to do. So I think that that's why the Commanders will stick with that, even though Dan Quinn is traditionally more of like a cover three guy, single high safety type of guy. Just in the modern NFL, we're just continuing to see these two high safeties. And if that's the case, if teams are playing with two safeties that are 20 yards off the line of scrimmage or more, then you've got to be able to run the ball in those situations. That's when you have a numerical advantage to be able to run the ball. And you would think that this Falcons team with Bijan Robinson, with the offensive line that they have, you know, granted they don't have Caleb McGarry, but it's still an offensive line that should be able
formidable.
To. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You've got an all-pro in Chris Lindstrom there. You should be able to move the ball. And I would love to see Tyler Allgeier get more involved with some of these runs. He only had one carry against the Panthers, which, I mean, to me, I get it that you want to have Bijan as involved as possible, but Tyler gives you a really nice change of pace, especially when you need to just kind of, you know, crack some skulls in the run game, for lack of a better word,
and
beat some teams down.
It's kind of his especially, right?
Yeah.
Give the ball his clobbering time. Hopefully we get more of him and get Tyler on to finish some drives, and especially if we get to the red zone. We didn't get to the red zone last week.
Yeah, that is shocking. Again, there are a lot of shocking things about that game, but that was shocking. Hey, I mentioned Lindstrom and Bijan. You were telling me during the break that you got to see them a little bit this week.
You know, it was cool this week. I got a chance to get out and see the Falcons doing some things in the community. On Monday, there was something up at a place called Jumbo's. It's up in Beaufort. It's a warehouse where they collect pajamas for children who are in foster care. And so Chris Lindstrom and Bergeron, a number of Falcons players showed up over there. And it's great to see these big guys folding children's pajamas to give to the children as they arrived. And that happened the next day. Bijan Robinson was back here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. He had 8,000 Atlanta Public School kids for Bijan Reeds.
Wow.
And
there were that many. That's great.
8,000 kids, and it was cool because they were between first and third grade. And you got to, you know, when you got them that age, you got to have them, you got to hold their attention because the teacher got to go to the bathroom. You know, they're that age, right?
Yep.
But those kids were so locked in. They were so locked in to see him and he got the book and he read to them, and they got a copy of the book when they left. Both Chris Lindstrom and Bijan Robinson talked about how therapeutic it was for them last week to get out and do something giving, something just in the community, something with, you know, just a step away from all of last weekend. And you could see it on their faces. They generally enjoyed it.
I think just in general, when you are kind of consumed by something especially negative that happens in life, like, you just need to kind of get out of your own head. Like, do something that gets you to stop thinking about it. It could be running an errand. Like, I'm just thinking about, for us lay people, it could be like running an errand or just like doing whatever, just like getting yourself involved in something else. So, you know, maybe that we could just like say that that's a key for this team going into this week, is being able to actually flush what happened last week and be able to focus on the opponent ahead of you.
Absolutely. As we talked about Jesse Bates earlier in his comments about the locker room, no finger pointing, no bickering, nobody's blaming anyone. Just wanting to pick themselves up and say, hey, we know we're a better team. Let's be better this week. And so I think that is one of the things. We can say that's a key. I think that goes in as a key also. It's not an X or an O. It's not something you see on the field, but it's something that can manifest itself on the field if the wrong type thing is happening during the week.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Another key for me in this one is going to be, you know, we talked about it in the injury report in the last segment, but the Commanders are going to be without so many players on their offense. I think that you cannot let Marcus Mariota beat you in this game, and I know that in another context, people might laugh at that and say, like, okay, yeah, well, like, but I mean, seriously, there is an opportunity for him, because there's going to be so many shoulders for him to kind of put on the cape and probably just play without anything to lose. And that is always a dangerous player, especially when you are a multifaceted quarterback like Marcus Mariota is, with what he can do with his arm and his legs. So just containing him, making sure you're not giving up anything stupid, you know, just like make them matriculate the ball down the field to beat you, mm-hmm. if that's the way they beat you, and if they do, you tip your cap. But you don't, like, and this kind of goes for both sides of the ball, but it feels like if the Falcons don't make any massive mistakes with regards to turnovers, big plays, those kinds of things, then this game is set up for them to win. And ultimately, it was like some of those big mistakes that they made last week that caused that game to get out of hand.
Absolutely. Well, I got a key, and something we haven't talked about. It's an elephant in the room, kind of.
Yeah.
We talk about this team. It's kicking. You know, after
I can't believe we haven't talked about this yet. When you brought it up, I was like, we haven't talked about it? Oh, my goodness. This is a major story.
It is major for this team, especially in the past 3 weeks, what has happened with this team. Young Waku going away. I think he signed him with the practice squad this week up with the Giants.
He's going to be kicking for him. He's elevated,
and he will play today. Thankfully, they're not on our schedule. Because that's what I thought
exactly
would happen. I talked
exactly
with some friends of mine. I said, watch it. He's going to end up on a team that the Falcons are going to have to play.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like that's going to happen. That's going to be the case. But meanwhile, there was another kicker that came in this week. The competition continued, as Coach Rob promised.
Yep.
But who do you think we're going to see?
I think that we will continue to see Parker Romo this week. That would just be my guess. Now, we'll get more like confirmation about this when they announce any practice squad elevations and who's active for this game or not 90 minutes before. I would think that if Ben Saul is the kicker that they picked up on their practice squad this week, I would think that if he was kicking this week, they would have already elevated him and announced that, similarly to the way that they did with Parker Romo and
yep.
Younghoe Koo last week, where that was a decision that was made on Friday. So I believe it will be Parker Romo today, but you got to, you know, think that he's on a short leash, or not a short leash for this game, but if he doesn't kick well today, you would think that, you know, they're not going to dilly-dally around. And
no.
In this league, you can't. And it's so funny that it took us so long to mention it, because you can break down all these different aspects of football, but the NFL is so damn competitive. It's so close that you kind of assume your kicker is going to make their kicks, but if they don't, you're really screwed.
That's true. You know,
I wish it wasn't that way, but I mean, it's just, and that's how specialized the position has become, where a lot of fans don't have to really think about their kickers too much because they are so consistent. And especially in this building, by the way, you know, Mercedes-Benz Stadium is the, I don't know how you say this, it's where kickers are most accurate in the NFL.
Really?
More kicks are made at a higher percentage at Mercedes-Benz Stadium than anywhere else. So it's an ideal place to kick.
Why is that?
That's a great question. It's probably has to do something with just random statistical variability, but you would think just on turf fields, indoor stadiums are always going to be better kicking conditions.
Roof open or closed?
It's going to be closed today.
It's going to be closed.
Yeah. So that means better kicking conditions, essentially, which means that there's no excuse for missing them, because your opponent's probably not going to miss them.
You mentioned that, and I go back to when the Super Bowl was played here. Remember how Belichick wanted to know how long it took to close the thing?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And so when you mentioned this being a high percentage place for kicking, that's the thought. That's the picture that comes to my mind.
Well, and as we talk about the Falcons' misfortunes in the kicking game, you know, last year opponents there was only one missed field goal by an opponent in this building last year.
Whoa.
There was only one miss.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's something else.
Actually, I might even have that wrong. It actually may be that there were none missed, and the Falcons only had one field goal missed against them all season. I don't have the stat, but the Falcons had the worst luck in kicking with regards to they had the fewest misses against them happen last year, which just made the problems that Younghoe Koo had feel even worse because your kicker was also missing while other kickers were making against you. So it's a massive part of this game. Honestly, I'm glad you brought it up, Sam, because and it's obviously something that's a massive like question mark for this Falcons organization right now is who is going to be that guy going forward.
Yeah, because if you have another bad performance today with Romo, then what? You know, you're opening up auditions again.
Kinda like you're back to the drawing board.
Yeah, you know what happened. And you want to see, you hate to see Younghoe Koo leave. He'd been so good and consistent for this team. But then you got a guy in Romo who is a hometown product, who's getting an opportunity of a lifetime to do this here in his hometown. So you know it
means McIntosh High School.
McIntosh High School, the place where they come to the game in the golf carts, man. That's amazing. I can't think of any other high school.
He said he played soccer there. He didn't even play football.
They're a phenomenal soccer program. That's what they're known for. Yes, McIntosh is known for phenomenal soccer. Of course, but now they got the U.S. soccer headquarters right outside, right down the road from
them, right? That's right.
McIntosh, you know about the golf carts at McIntosh?
I knew. I didn't realize McIntosh was in Peachtree City.
Yeah, man.
I knew. I remember I played in some, like, not played, but I went. I attended some, like, baseball, softball tournament or something there at one point.
Did you see the golf carts?
I did. Yeah. Did see the golf carts.
They have a parking lot, man. Just from Friday nights, people come in and they park the golf carts to come to the game.
I've heard a lot of NBA referees live in Peachtree City because of its proximity
to the
airport.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can believe that.
And the airport's such a big hub for them to get around any city they need to in the NBA. Yeah.
Remember that. Yeah. We talk about Peachtree City. That's JR. What's up? I mean, they're going to ask you what's in the cup, bro. But good morning to you.
Good morning, guys.
Great to see you. He's not going to tell us what his name's up anyway.
another key for this game, and like again, it's probably it sounds so simplistic, but Michael Penix has to get back on track, and also it goes back to what we were talking about with the operation, which is to just be clean in the operation. You can't have more of these delay of game penalties, especially the ones coming out of timeouts that you took to avoid delay of games. But just in general, with Zach Robinson getting back onto the sideline, get the operation clean. I would like to see Michael Penix getting to the line a little bit earlier. I know the Falcons were kind of downplaying that as being a problem for them, but I feel like it would help him a little bit to be able to get up to the line, 4 or 5 seconds earlier, just so he can kind of visualize what's going to be happening on the play. But I think that's obviously going to be very important for a successful offense.
All right, we're talking about that. I'm going to see if Noel has time to dial up number 29 for us here, because Dan Orlovsky was talking about Penix and talking about his footwork and struggling some. And Noel, when you have that one, we'd like to hear some things. We talked about what the national experts and analysts are saying about our team, and this is what Orlovsky had to say this week about Penix.
When the quarterback is in the pistol and the gun often, I just think it's really difficult to marry his feet and the timing of throws to routes and route concepts. Because I think quarterbacks that are in the gun more often than not, they live in this catch and throw world, and they're very much so reactive rather than proactive. When you're a quarterback underneath the center, you're trained, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, first hitch goes there, second hitch goes there in the pass concept, and the depth of those routes is attached to the timing of that, right? Like it takes me 1.7 seconds to get to the top of my drop and a 5-step. In the gun, it's hard to gauge that.
That's Orlovsky. And shout out Chris Thomas. Turtle. We're forgetting that for us.
That's right.
Did I say that right?
Yep. Yeah, great get by Chris to get Orlovsky on the show. But, that's a great point that he makes. And it's so important for it's like one of those things that's in the weeds, but it is really important for the passing game is just to have that timing down with your receivers as it goes with your drop, as the quarterback's drop. And I think that, Orlovsky makes a great point that doesn't get talked about enough probably.
We'll watch for that and see if he tightens those things up today. That could be a big plus for him and for his performance and for a bounce back for him. Like I said, against a team that he had that great success against last season. To me, that's something that ought to fire him up and really fire up this team to feel like, with your playoff life on the line last season, you went out and you went toe-to-toe with this team and turned in one of the great performances, Sunday night performances of the season. Now can you bump some of that up? I know it's a different year, it's a different team, a different season, but still can he bottle that up and bring that kind of confidence out there today, because that's the type of thing that makes a big difference to me in this game.
Totally. Yep. And you're not going to win without a quarterback that's actually functioning properly. And, you know, we've seen much better from Penix than he showed last week. So we can know he can be that guy.
Absolutely. What about Pitts? We want to see more from Mitz. I think he's a key.
Yeah.
As well.
So do I. And I think that he can actually open up some of the things for the other receivers. Just get the ball to him in some easy situations that allow him to, you know, move with it after the catch. And it seems like an easy way to move the chains and just pick up some yards, you know?
That's the thing. I mean, that's, to me, a tight end like him, if nothing else, he finds the sticks and keeps you, and, you know, and gets those third down conversions. That's another big thing, too, for this team.
He's really gotten better this year, I think, at showing his ability to create separation in some of those short yardage areas. Previously, he'd done a lot of his damage going downfield and being that kind of stretch guy that's hard to match up exactly with a tight end that's stretching you vertically down the field, but the Falcons have been able to exploit that. But they had not really been able to consistently get the ball to him in the underneath areas where he can do a lot of damage.
He could be big for third down conversions. Let's make that another key as well today. To get third down conversions would be crucial for this team and make a big difference to maintain some drives, keep the Washington offense off the field, take up some of that clock.
Yep.
I think that is big for this game today. All right. Once again, the Tailgate Show is brought to you by Bear and Burton's Everyday Hot Sauce. Your secret weapon off the bench is flavor that keeps your. Is that right?
Keep going.
No. Did I say something wrong? I left something out. Did I leave something out? It's at the bottom of that. My bad.
Keeps your taste buds coming back for more. The ultimate playmaker for your game day cravings. Pick up a bottle of the MLBsauce.com. There we go.
Now we got it. Now I know Ed won't have to come out here and beat us up. All right. We got one more segment to go. We're going to come back with some last thoughts for the day's game before we send it over to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You're listening to the Wait For Tailgate Show here on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hut! Everything you got is my way to get a win!
Getting you ready for today's game
with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Now, here's Andy and Joe. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Back here is the, I don't know what the number of that train is going by, but it was running by. But you know what? That's cool about this. That setting is we welcome you back into the Wade for a Tailgate Show. Sam Crenshaw, along with Joe Patrick, was kind of a way to kick off. Oh, you know, transportation has been the thing that's made Atlanta grow. It's the it's the airport now.
Yep.
But when you come to a Falcons game and you come down to this area, see Centennial Yards or the old Gulch, or and you see the train tracks going on, and you realize that is what made this place grow.
Yeah.
Was transportation, and right about where we are, maybe a block over, is where the old terminal used to be.
Yep.
And people would Google and look up the Atlanta train terminal. It was this awesome looking structure that they did. Somebody bumped the vehicle. Who got the keys to that?
I don't know.
Did you do that, Joe? I don't know.
It wasn't me.
We're going to blame Greg Street for that. He's around here. Anyway, car going.
But yeah, the you know, it is, you know, it's cool to see, like, if you're tailgating, you got the trains coming by. It's like you get some authenticity to the city and everything.
It's a reminder of what made this place really take off back in the day, and you get to see a bit of that and taste a bit of that And I think that's the thing that makes it so special to have this as part of the hub for the entertainment and athletic and sports culture comes together here in Atlanta to be a part of the thing that really made the city grow.
Yeah, and what this place is going to be, the Centennial Yards area, when it's all kind of built out more, it's going to be great. You know, it's going to be a great tailgate spot. It already is, but it's going to be really fun. You got the World Cup coming. It's all these big events that are going to be happening. Yeah, really cool area. Really happy to be here.
Absolutely. We're glad to be here this morning, and we're counting down to this team. We talked about in the course of the last couple of hours the things that we need to see this team that we feel like are necessary for our Falcons to have a positive outcome today. We go out. First of all, we start with the quarterback, with Michael Penix Jr., with the change with the offensive coordinator, with Zach Robinson coming down from the booth down to the sideline, and what difference we expect that to make today. And that's something we're going to be watching as this game unfolds.
No doubt. And, Sam, I mean, I cannot think of the last time there seemed to have been so much riding on a Week 4 football game in the NFL. Like, normally you would think that in Week 4 you're still kind of getting settled into who you are, you're kind of working your way into the season, and instead where this Falcons team finds itself at this point in time is a team that is, I don't know if desperate is too strong of a word for where this Falcons team is, but when you talk about the head coach having already done a firing, you're already moving your offensive coordinator around and kind of changing some of that.
You shuttled your kicker.
Yeah,
I mean, there's things
exactly.
You don't look to do that early, right?
It feels like you're already at a kind of like a make or break point, and in a game like this, where again, very winnable game with all the injuries that the Commanders have. Feels like one, and you've mentioned it before, like you want to have that good feeling when you go into the bye. You don't want to be kind of ruminating over these bad performances, especially what you did last week. Just feels like the most important Week 4 game I can remember in Falcons history at this point.
It makes it important, too, because you saw what happened. Your two losses are two divisions, too.
Yeah,
two division
they're 0-2 opponents. In the division.
You wouldn't expect to be 0-2 in the division. You figured you're going to win the one against Carolina, mm-hmm. and you dropped that one last week. So it's some things that a win today does for this team. There is that sense of urgency because, you don't want to get to the point where you got two division losses. A third one may make it almost impossible for you to have a chance for the division or even a wild card.
Yeah.
And so you got the losses have been really crucial ones, and that's what make this game today so big.
And it'll also be interesting to see how Michael Penix is able to bounce back. You know, he's a young quarterback, and I feel like he probably had not really dealt with something like last week in his career, frankly. Like, maybe even in college, I don't know how many times he would have had to have endured a game where the team played as poorly as they did, and he contributed to that poor play to the extent that he did last week. And, you know, listen, it's a different game in the NFL. Like, even the bad teams can make you look silly on any given week. And how is he able to, you know, we talked about it before, the processing and then just being able to flush it, but how well is he able to understand where the breakdowns were happening, how to correct, like, what he needs to do better to make sure those don't happen again, and then actually go out there on the field today and execute those things.
And that's the other thing, too. You maybe during the course of the week, maybe he communicated with a veteran quarterback or a retired quarterback to say, hey, man, you have weeks like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know who he turns to, if there's a voice or someone or maybe someone that maybe reached out to him, but just to say, hey, those weeks happen.
Yeah.
Because everybody in this league has the potential to make that happen to you.
Especially as a young quarterback. I mean, like, absolutely. Josh Allen's like the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He wasn't the best quarterback, you know, anything close to it his rookie year. There were ups and downs, and Michael Penix is no different, you know. But you got to have the ups that come after that. That's like a big part of, I think, of evaluating who he is as a quarterback is how is he able to bounce back off of that performance.
Because so he goes, so this team goes.
Exactly.
And we know that's the whole thing. So they want to go out and see some success for him. Maybe early, get some earlier things happen. Remember what happened in the first game here. He gets the pass out to Bijan, takes it up the field, and they go in and score in that first possession. Wouldn't it be nice to have that today?
Yeah, and on that point, I'm so glad you bring it up, Sam, because what Jeff Ulbrich has talked about this defense being is one that actually plays with a lead. Like, they built the defense to be able to rush the passer and do the kinds of things that you need to do when your football team is winning and when other teams are having to try to come back against you. That's, you know, would greatly help. I think this Falcons team run a lot more smoothly if they're able to play with the lead in this game.
Yep, absolutely. But you got to get that first. You got to get that
absolutely.
First, and you got to convert in your opportunities. Hey guys, doing right. Doing all right. All right, now how's everything? You ready?
Good.
All right. Give us a rise up. All right. That's what we're going to say that. All right. No, we get it today. We're going to do that. Yeah, all right now. The people passing through, seeing a little something. I'm seeing all kind of people down here. I'm not usually up here doing this. So this, but it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. Fun. Enjoy it. This is a lot of fun. This is a fun location, and a lot of foot traffic coming through, and people hit with the game. All right, we got a great break. We'll come back and wrap things up on the Wait For It Tailgate Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
For today's game
with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show,
brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Now here's Eddie and Joe, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It has been Sam Crenshaw sitting in for Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick. We've enjoyed things this morning. Clear blue skies, ready for football today here in downtown.
Feeling like an NFL Sunday, doesn't it?
It really does. Really does. Fantastic, fantastic. The last weekend of September as we get ready to turn the calendar over, and hopefully we turn some things over. Turnover being the optimal word, I think that's a big part of the game, and I'm going to go on record today saying I think our final score will be 24-16, and the defense finds the end zone. How about some inspiration for your offense? Offense, don't score. Tell you what, we'll score for you. Defense gets the ball into the end zone today and be a big part of the Falcons' win.
I'm glad you said that. I couldn't say that because I predicted that last week, and then it turned, it flipped on us, and the Carolina Panthers defense scored on the Falcons. So I hope you're right this week on that, and I wouldn't be surprised, I mean, given the Commanders are dealing with. I also think it's one where the Falcons get back on track. I don't think it's going to be perfectly clean. I could still envision some, you know, stumbles in the red zone, which it was still an issue, even though they didn't get in the red zone last week. I still haven't been proven that they can kind of throw the ball the way they want to in there. But I do think that they will be able to do enough, especially defensively, like you said, against this Commanders team that is just so depleted. And so I'll go with the Falcons win. Similarly, by the way, the Vegas markets see this as a Commanders as a one-point favorite, although I don't know if that was with Jaden Daniels out. And they see it as like an implied score in their low to mid 20s. So I'll say 23-9 Falcons.
23-9 Falcons.
Yeah. I think a lot of field goals maybe in this one.
All right. Getting that kicks, and that means there'll be good things for Parker Romo.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'd love to see him make some kicks, at least to give people some confidence, you know. People around here need confidence in the kicking game.
Need some stability.
When I say people, I mean me.
me too. And everybody headed inside that stadium, they want to see some things done to restore some confidence and faith in this team. It's been great out here this morning, man. It's been fantastic.
Yep.
Of course, along all of our fellow Odyssey co-workers have been out here. As we see a tent also set up with V103. We see one set up down there for Star down the way, and everyone's out here having a wonderful time. It's a festive.
Wade Ford out here. We got everybody. Everybody's been coming by. We even saw Rich McKay just jogging by.
Rich McKay came jogging right past us here this morning, just out for a
game, morning workout in.
Game day workout in, right?
That's
so
right.
Everybody's ready to try to get pumped up and get ready for the Falcons to take on today. So that's what we're looking forward to. I'm going to go inside. Hope we're going to get a great call. By the way, today was with Dave Archer, West Durham. They're going to do that. And, of course, we're going to head inside. We're going to have Bo Morgan and Mike Johnson going to take over.
That's right. They're going to be on the pregame show and halftime. And, it should be a good one. I think that this is the day we see the Falcons get back on track a little bit here. Like I said, I don't know if it's going to be perfect, but I do think it's going to be ultimately enough to get them a win. And, hey, you go into the bye. If you are able to get the win, you go into the bye at 2-2. The whole season's still ahead of you at that point. You've created a little bit of a hole for yourself with the division record and such, but nothing that you couldn't dig out of.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is what we will watch for as the teams get set to play today. That's what we're hoping for, and hope we have some positive things to report to you after the game and some positive phone calls.
Yeah, let's have a happy Falcons flyover today. How about that?
Falcons flyover, man, because that turned into a hot mess last week. We don't need that again. but, I mean, the fans are very frank and honest.
Yeah, I love it.
And we appreciate you getting involved with us on game day, obviously.
100%.
But we want to have something good today, so hopefully we have something good for the fans to react to, right?
Mm-hmm,
all
absolutely.
Right, that's going to do it for us. Our thanks to Noel White.
Thank you, Noel.
And our wonderful Midtown Studios for keeping us in line and keeping the train on the track. Let's hit it inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium now. Bo Johnson, Bo Morgan and Mike Johnson. Take it away, guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.